Go with me, if you would, back to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. We will, Lord willing, be celebrating Thanksgiving this coming Thursday. So that was on my mind and on my heart when I started looking for this message. And I came across these verses here in Colossians 3, and they blessed me so much. So they're going to be our text tonight. Colossians 3, let's read from verse 14 to verse 17. Colossians 3:14, it says, "And above all these things, put on charity," that means love, "which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." He said, let love be your bond. Let love be your bond. Love for Christ, love for each other. That's our love. That's the root of our love. Love for the Lord Jesus Christ, love for each other. That is the tie that binds. And he said, let peace, the peace that is of God, the peace that only God can give. I love this. He said, let that peace rule in your hearts. If we could just really enter into that. Let that peace rule in your heart. Whatever's going on in your heart, let peace, the peace of God, rule over it. He said, let the word of Christ, Christ who is the word, and the word that Christ has given, like we heard this morning, you can't separate the two, can you? Whether it's the written word of the Holy Scriptures or whether it's set to music in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, let the word of the Lord Jesus Christ dwell in you richly. That means live in you. And he said, whatever you do in word or deed, be thankful in it. Whatever you do in word, whatever you do indeed, be thankful in it. Give thanks to God and the Father by Christ Jesus our Savior. He said, in the name of Christ Jesus our Savior. Love, peace, and thankfulness. Love, peace, and thankfulness. Love is of God. It truly is. Love truly is of God. Just listen to these, okay? For God so loved, he gave the gift of his Son. He gave the gift of salvation to his people. For God so loved. Greater love had no man. He laid down his life for his friends. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Who can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son to be the propitiation. That means the bloody victim for our sins. Love is of God. Peace is of God. It truly is. Peace is of God. In Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. Do you ever have your peace ruined? Do you ever have your peace upset? We know this so well. Everything can be fine. It can be fine. And then all of a sudden, it is shattered just in a moment. Everything that was happy and good and peaceful is just... Every time that happens, remember, he is our peace. Do you want to go back to peace? Go back to him. He is our peace. He is our peace. That scripture I was quoting went on to say, having broken down the middle wall of partition and having abolished our enmity in his flesh, he made both one, and he reconciled us to God in his body on the cross, so making peace. Peace with God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Goodwill toward men. The song says, hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. I love that line. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is called the God of all peace. I love that. Solomon represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his reign, he had peace on all sides. Everybody had their own vine, their own fig tree, and it was total peace. And that's Christ. Love is of God. Peace is of God. And I said both of those to say this. Thankfulness is of God. We're about to celebrate Thanksgiving. Thankfulness is of God. Rather than quoting it like I've been doing here, let me show it to you. Let's go to a few scriptures here. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 9. Verse 8, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Verse 11 says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. He creates that in the hearts of his people. He causes that. When he creates it in his people, it's there. When he puts it there, it's there. And his people respond to his work with great thankfulness. They truly do have thankfulness. They cry out to him with great thankfulness. In joy and gladness, they cry out to him. Turn with me over to Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51, verse 3 says, "For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." He'll put it there. He'll create it there for all of his people. Joy, gladness, singing, the voice of melody. He'll put that in their hearts and they will rejoice in thankfulness to God for it. So he creates that response. Love is of him. Peace is of him. Thankfulness is of him. It's of him. And I'm so glad for that, because if he did not create it in me, I would not be thankful. You ever feel like the most unthankful thing? You just think about all the Lord does, all the Lord gives, and you realize, I'm not thankful. This is a pitiful illustration, but you know how somebody will do something for you, give you something. Have you ever thought, well, I need to send them a thank you note? And then you forget. It's like, I got to send them a thank you note. And then it's like a burden to you. Well, I got to get that thank you note written. I have to. Well, doesn't that show just the nature of man to God? But in his people, in his goodness, he will put thankfulness in us to him. Turn with me to a few more here. Go to Psalm 147. Psalm 147, verse 7, it says, "Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God." Sing to him with thanksgiving. As I was writing this out, just thinking about the coming week and the title of the holiday, and I enjoyed this so much. It is such a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. So simple. Just so simply to give thanks unto the Lord. It says, "Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving." That's how we are to sing, and that's how God's people want to sing. We want to sing with thanksgiving. Turn with me to Psalm 116. Psalm 116, verse 17. It says, "I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord." That's all that we have to offer him, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. That's the only sacrifice we have to offer him. The sacrifice of blood was made by Christ. The sacrifice for sin was made by the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot offer him anything acceptable to him. All we can offer him is the sacrifice of thank you. Thanksgiving. Thank you. Go to Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And I love verse 2. It says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Oh, give thanks to him for that. He's good. His mercy endures forever. One more. Go to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, verse 4, it says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." That's what God produces in the hearts of his people. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Love, peace, and thanksgiving. All right, now go with me back to our text, Colossians chapter 3. There are so many things that we could declare our thanks for. I was thinking about listing things, and we have already declared so many of them. We just did in the verses we just read. But we have reasons to give thanks on every page of this book. We have reasons to give thanks to our God. Just turn any page, and we will find great reason to give thanks to him. What God has done for us, eternity is not long enough to give him thanks for it. We will give him thanks for all eternity. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. All eternity. So for this message, we're not going to try to think of everything that we can give thanks to him for. We're just going to give thanks for the things that are written down in Colossians chapter 3. All right, there are some things. I want to look at the verses leading up to this text that we just read. And we're just going to give thanks for Colossians 3. All right, thanks for what he's written from verse 1 to verse 17. So verse 1 says, and ask the Lord to let you enter into this, okay? Colossians 3, verse 1 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Now think about this. We are risen with Christ. Is that not glorious? How amazing is it that he arose from the grave? We are risen with Christ. He died to put our sin away, and he did indeed put our sin away. And the proof of that is he arose from the dead. Had he not put sin away, the wages of sin is death. And had he not put it away, he would have stayed there. But because it's gone and dealt with and done, he arose from the grave. And all of his people who had their sin taken away from them in him have risen with him. That makes me want to be thankful. We are risen with him. And verse 1 says, he is seated on the throne. This thought has just grabbed me so many times since the first time I thought of it. What if somebody else was seated on the throne? What if it was the adversary? Thank God he's the one seated on the throne. He's good. His mercy endures forever. He told John, whenever John saw him on the Isle of Patmos, John fell down like a dead man. The Lord put his hand on him and said, "Fear not. I'm the one who sits on the throne. It is I. I'm the one who holds the keys of hell and death. Fear not." So he is the one seated on the throne. That one verse is worth a lifetime of pondering. Thank God we are risen with him. And thank God he's the one who's seated on the throne. We give thanks for that. Verse 2 says, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Our life is hid with Christ in God, right in the absolute center of God, Father, Son, and Spirit. He said, you don't have to worry about the things of this world. You don't have to worry about the things of this world. You don't have to dwell on. You don't have to give your emotions to. You don't have to give the thoughts of your mind to anything in this world, because you're not of the world. If you're risen with Christ, your life is hid with Him in God. That's good reason to give thanks. You can spend all your time just dwelling on and giving your emotions to and giving your thoughts to. Glory with Him. That'll make a child of God thankful. Make you want to set aside some time to be thankful. Lord, cause me to just set aside a minute of time to be thankful. Just to say thank you. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Does that make you thankful? Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Thank God. We can't wait. We cannot wait. Thank God. Why can't we wait? Why are we looking so forward to it? Why do we thank God for that? Here's the reason why. When He appears, we're going to appear with Him. In the clouds, to meet Him in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. You can't get your mind around that. But when it happens, we're going to be thankful. I'm telling you, when gravity lets go of us and we rise to meet Him in the air, there is going to be a heart and an attitude of thankfulness. Thank God. Verse 5 says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, that means lust, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked some time when you lived in them. He said, kill the sinful deeds of the flesh. Fornication, wicked thoughts, lust, kill those things. Put an end to those things in your body. Should we just move on? The same man who said that to the Colossians said to the Romans, I would love to do that. I just can't figure out how. I just cannot find a way to do that. Even if I can stop those things from entering into my deeds. And we should. Fornication should not be. If you want to bring a spanking, continue in it. You know, he's about to mention anger and all those things. If you want a spanking, continue in it. From God. We don't. But how do I stop these things? Even if I stop it from my deeds, how do I stop it from entering into my mind? How can I kill these things? All that I see in myself is a wretched, sinful, wicked man. How could I possibly kill all those deeds from my body? To that, this is what the gospel answers. You can't. But Christ can. And He did on the cross of Calvary. Look at verse 3 again. It says, you are dead. He said, kill those things. Kill those members of your body. You're dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Everything that needs to be killed in us, it died with Him when He paid the price of our judgment for us. Everything. Thank God. Does that make me want to continue in sin and these things willingly? And God forbid. But thank God He took care of it. We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for our Lord Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Knowing that Christ did that for us, that will make us want to try as hard as we can to put off our old wicked man of the flesh. That doesn't make us want to dive into it. That makes us want to try to put him off and put on the new man of the Spirit of God. Look at verse 8. He said, "But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." Don't you want to put those things off? "Lie not one to another," verse 9 says. I don't want to lie to you. I don't want you to lie to me. "Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds." Love, peace, and thanksgiving in the heart will make a child of God want to do that, even though he fails so miserably. It'll make him want to do that. That love and peace and thanksgiving of God constrains us. It gives us a... We grieve over what we are. We grieve over what we feel. When God puts a new heart in his people and he creates this new man in his people, that new heart and that new man makes them want to be like Christ. We do. We want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason is because that new heart and that new man is Christ in his people. And they desire to be like him because the Father is conforming them to the image of Christ. And every time they realize that, they cry, "Thank God. One of these days, we're going to look just like Jesus Christ. I don't look like him now, but we will be conformed to his very image." So thankful. Verse 9 says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." Christ is all and in all. Thank God. Thank God. He is everything. And he's in everything. He's behind everything. He's doing everything. Thank God. Verse 12 says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." Put on therefore as the elect of God. God chose us. Thank God. Thank God. Why us? I see no good reason in this flesh for him to choose us. The only good reason that there is in the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to see the good reason, we're going to have to look to him. But God chose us. And how do we know that? He revealed Christ to us. Like Manoah's wife said, she said, if he intended to kill us, he would have never revealed all these things to us. He would have never revealed Christ to us. So thank God for his election. Thank God that he chose sinners like us. What did he choose us to? What did he elect us to? Holiness. Holiness. Mercy. Grace, humility, meekness, patience. That's what we've been given in Christ. That's what we get to put on in him when we put on these things. We put on, verse 12 says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Christ forgave us. He forgave us by shedding His own blood for us. Thank God. Now unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. He said that's all the reason we need, to be humble and patient and forgiving with each other. And what the Apostle Paul is telling the Colossians here is, and this is what I want to end on this note and leave us with this. He's saying here, if we will think on these things and dwell on these things, and if we will do that, if we will think on these things and dwell on these things as we go through this week and go through this holiday, it'll produce something wonderful in our hearts. If we will dwell on what Christ has done for us, what God has done for us through Christ, it will produce love. It will produce peace. It will produce thanksgiving. So verse 14 says, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. We have been given it. He said, put it on. Put on love. Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. We've been given peace. We've been given thankfulness. Put it on, he said. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. He's saying encourage each other in these things. Encourage each other. Admonish each other. Verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And we do. We do. We give thanks to God and the Father by Him, through Him, in Him, because of Him. He is all and He is in all. May that be the tenor of our heart and mind. May that rule our attitude as we celebrate, spend time with our families this week. May that truly, truly rule our heart and rule our mind. That love, that peace, and thanksgiving. Lord, put it there. Put it there. All right. Let's all stand together. Brother Dwight, you come.